Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the March 26th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will once again be diving headfirst into the world of nitromethane-powered racing machines. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't also take a few moments to review the FIA Formula E Miami E-Prix, as well as touch on the Mobile 1 12 Hours of Sebring. We'll also be discussing the upcoming Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, probably touching on the 4-wide Nationals up in Charlotte this weekend, as well as whatever other racing news pops up into the conversation. So what sort of racing have you been watching the past couple of weeks?
I've been keeping up with NASCAR pretty well. That's kind of just like a ritual in our house. The first big race around here is actually in like 2 weeks, I think. So there really hasn't been a whole lot of racing except for NASCAR. But yeah, I've been pretty much keeping up on NASCAR.
Yeah, the NASCAR race was a little controversial at the end of it last week, where it seemed like almost NASCAR has something against Kurt Busch, because every time he was in the lead, they referred to it as the ludicrous speed, the sort of Spaceballs reference. And then at the end, they threw caution after caution after caution. They kept falling further and further back until finally he ended up in third, which isn't really too bad. But those cautions at the end really cost him his chance of winning.
The first caution they threw, the first green-white checkered, or was it the second? The first or the second? No, because the second one was when he was leading. Oh, was it the first one? Oh, my gosh, I can't remember. But wasn't there really a caution? Like, wasn't there really a reason for at least one of the cautions? I remember correctly.
There might have been, but it was really iffy because they had the debris, which nobody saw, apparently, except for maybe one or two drivers, and you never know what they're seeing. And if it was a real piece of metal debris, why wasn't it something they were able to show on television? And they had a small accident thing that wasn't a major thing, and the one at the end was a little more major, but it's just all kind of confusing. And I think that NASCAR needs to be more consistent in their caution throwing. I mentioned that before after Daytona. So I think that they just need to be a little more consistent, and then there wouldn't be as many questions that people have after the races.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I think the caution that I'm thinking of was when the bumper cover blew up.
Okay.
I don't think that had anything to do with Kurt Busch now that I think
of
it. All right. So, yeah, never mind.
We didn't have the show last week, but the weekend before I was at the Formula E Miami E-Prix. That was pretty awesome. Was the first race they've had in downtown Miami in more than a dozen years. And it was a really good race. They had some issues, of course. They had some crowd control issues that were pretty embarrassing, I suppose, because they had 20,000 people there and they only had like four crossover bridges, and a couple of them were backed up pretty much the entire race. They had food trucks there, which was awesome. That's a neat idea to have the food trucks come in, because that's a lot better than most of the average track food to get at some of these events. But the food trucks started running out of food at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's all small stuff, but hopefully it'll be something they fix the mistakes next year, and it'll be an even bigger and better event next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that would be a lot of food.
Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the... That's okay. Some of the trucks were a little busier, a little more popular than others, and I think that's kind of the issue. But everybody ended up with if you were hungry, you had to wait in a nice long line. And that's kind of the nature of most races anyway.
Yeah, that's why I tend to sneak stuff in with me.
Yeah. But it was a really good race. It was interesting. The cars are quiet, though. They're your average street car is louder than these guys were. And it was they have a DJ who they call their EJ, who actually has a really loud dance music thing going on in the background to sort of make up for the fact there aren't any, there's not any car noise.
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. And next week we're going to hopefully, next week hopefully we're going to have Nelson Piquet Jr. on the program. He was supposed to be on the program prior to the Miami race, but I've had assurances from his public relations people that he will be on the show next week. He will be calling in, and there won't be any issues. So I've got my fingers crossed. I'm knocking on the press board wooden desk here that he will be on the program next week. Are you excited about the drag racing this weekend in Charlotte?
Kinda. Yeah, because this week the oh my goodness, help me out here.
It's the Four Wide Nationals from the Z-Max Dragway in Charlotte, in Concord, I suppose, North Carolina.
Yes, that is always exciting.
It should be, and I'll actually be in St. Petersburg for the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, so I won't be watching that race, except maybe a little bit in the evening, I suppose, but it should be a good race.
Yeah,
definitely different.
I think that they did it just for show, but I don't think they do it just for show anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely a different way of getting it done. They have a different... a whole different points layup for the Four Wide Nationals that I'm not going to get into here because I think it's a little complicated. But and they do a little bit, it goes a lot quicker. I'm not sure how large the field's going to be because I know that they've had some issues the past couple of weeks in having smaller pro fields. But I did get the notice that Sean Langdon, the Top Fuel dragster driver who we had in the program a few weeks ago, who's currently sponsored by Guy Fieri and is actively looking for a larger sponsor, will actually be at the race in Charlotte, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. What do you prefer? I don't think I've ever asked you this. What type of racing do you yourself prefer?
Good question. Probably the IMSA racing, the sports cars, for something to actually watch and sit around. Because in all honesty, most of the NASCAR races, even the one from this past week, the middle of it was really you could leave for 30 minutes, come back, and you wouldn't have missed anything. So... but with the IMSA races, there's always a little bit of action, even further back in the field that they don't necessarily talk about. I suppose it's the same in NASCAR, but in NASCAR, there's a lot of follow the leader type stuff. So.
Yeah, that's true. NASCAR is kind of, I don't want to say kind of getting old, but I don't know. They need to mix it up a little bit.
They do, and I think they try to at certain events, but it all depends, and this year isn't really the best example, because this year they have the new car with a little bit less horsepower, and some of the drivers aren't quite accustomed to it yet. Next year might be a little bit better racing, but you never know. Getting into the sports cars a little bit, I did watch a little bit of the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring this past weekend. Most of that I watched online, which is a great thing that IMSA has, the new online stuff that you can watch live streaming. And the Action Express, number 5 car, was actually a full lap ahead of the rest of the field at the end of 12 hours, which makes for a little bit different race. It's kind of exciting in its own way because it shows that that car is the best prepared and best set up. And
yeah. Yeah, I think NASCAR should kind of, I don't want to say take note, but kind of look at how a lot of the other, you know, racing series are doing it and maybe kind of try some of the stuff they're doing.
They probably should. I think they're, NASCAR has a way of basically analyzing the whole worldwide motorsports field and taking the things that they think are the best and incorporating them into their own series. And sometimes they do it effectively, and sometimes they kind of stumble. And it really depends on how major the change is. But I give them credit. They have a really good team there, and they try their best. And sometimes they try a little bit too hard. Sometimes they try a little bit too hard for competition reasons, and that's why some of the inconsistencies, in my opinion, of course. And but NASCAR is they're the biggest game in town. There's pretty much every driver we've had on this program has at least had some, whether they've had direct experience or they've had a want to be in NASCAR at some point in their career. So they're the biggest game in town. They're the people who have the big money, and as long as that is, then they'll be the big show.
Yeah. So, going back to the Kurt Busch, I guess, incident, what is your, I don't want to say honest opinion, but, like, what is your opinion of it all? Do you think he should have just maybe not came back because of how they're kind of acting about it?
I think that he'll come across, it'll work itself out in the end, because some of the stuff is a perception thing, and some of it might be real, you never know. But I think after one of these races, he's going to win. He's going to be far enough ahead. He's going to be, as Daryl Waltrip and some of the other people were going, going to be ludicrous fast enough that there'll be nobody who can catch him. It might even be Martinsville. He's been very good at Martinsville in the past. So we'll see. But he's a racer. He's a racer through and through. He's a really good racer, and he's always been nice in the past. At least to me personally, he's been a nice guy, and I think to most of his fans, he's a great guy. So I wish him all the best.
Yeah, I know. After the last race where he was leading, and they had like 3 green light checkers or something like that, something ridiculous. I was reading a lot of comments on Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know, people are really, I don't know, like a lot of them are like, you know, I don't want to say against Kurt Busch, but like a lot of the comments were like for Kurt Busch, like, oh, NASCAR, you know, basically screwed him. And then a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, were like, oh, well, you know, he deserved it. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting how people get so divided.
It is. It's kind of that's kind of the nature of the sport, too. People have their own favorite driver, and if their favorite driver isn't doing well, then they're either not interested or they're just going to bash on everybody else. That's the nature of NASCAR fandom, of the whole NASCAR nation thing. Looks like our first guest is on the line now. Our first guest this evening is Jason Week. Owning a race team and driving a dragster has been his lifelong dream, going back to when he was 5 years old and his father took him to his first drag race. When he saw the first pair of cars go down the track, he knew that's what he wanted to do with his life. His uncle, Jerry Estep, had a top gas dragster which competed in the 60s and 70s. In 1970, his uncle's car won the top gas with Jack Jones driving, which also happens to be the model for the coveted NHRA Wally Trophy.
On October 16, 2009, Wieck, I'm pretty sure I pronounced that wrong, took a big step and earned his NHRA Championship Drag Racing Competition Drag Racing License at Frank Holly's NHRA Drag Racing School in Las Vegas. On his journey to getting his license, I'm going to just say Jason, spent 8 years working as a crew member for Rocket Man Racing. Being a team member of a professional race team, he was exposed to the business side of drag racing. It also taught him an even greater level of dedication, discipline, and focus. He has been able to get really creative with marketing and social media, which has been able to give him a following of over 50,000 between Twitter and all of their Facebook pages. His Facebook fan page averages over 40,000 hits per week and had over 300,000 in their most visited week. This makes Jason the most followed NHRA sportsman team online. In 2011, he drove for Jim Bear Chapman while competing in the Arizona Drag Racing Association. Jason entered a number of races, and in one of the races, he made it to the finals and won runner in a field of 31 cars, earning a spot in National Dragster, a drag racing magazine by NHRA.
In the 2011 season, Week acquired sponsorships from Allstate Transmission and Auto Repair in Phoenix, Arizona, as well as Southwest Distral and Electrical and First Impressions Truck Lettering, both also located in Phoenix, Arizona. For the 2012 season, he joined with Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers, a nationwide company famous for their steak burgers and frozen custard, for a title sponsorship. He competed in 5 local bracket races, which include a runner-up, 2 semifinal appearances, 1 quarterfinal appearance, and unfortunately, 1 first-round exit. In 2013, his team started working in conjunction with Doug Herbert's Brakes, a 501c3 nonprofit charity. It looks like he's dropped off the line for a few moments, but we are all set to have Jason Week on the program. And we're looking forward to it. He should be an awesome guest. It should be a good night. The Doug Herbert's charity is quite the charity as well. They do a lot of work for all different sorts of causes. Basically, they have some teen driving things. They have some other charity work that's a good fit for racing.
Yeah, I'm not really totally familiar with the Brakes charity, but I don't remember what I was watching actually, but it came on something about it, and I think it's really good what they're doing.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, this is Jason.
Yeah, this is Adam Sinclair. You're live on Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
First off, what's your favorite aspect of drag racing?
The speed and the power, really. It's just something about just being able to go as fast as those cars can run. There's just nothing like it. Also, you know, a lot of it is just camaraderie around amongst fellow competitors and your fellow drag racers. Everybody seems to get along really well. So, I mean, there's really not anything I could really point out above the other. I just love the whole act of drag racing, the whole sport, all of it.
What forms of racing other than drag racing do you tend to follow the most?
I guess probably NASCAR. I mean, I'm not an avid NASCAR follower, but I mean, that's usually what dominates, you know, the covers when it comes to racing. So I follow NASCAR. I do like IndyCar. And I do like to follow some off-road racing, but I don't get to follow as much as I'd like to.
Which track are you most looking forward to racing at this season?
Well, actually, what I'm looking forward to is actually coming up in the next couple of weeks here. I'm actually supposed to be going out to Las Vegas. After the national event, after the international event, I'm going to be licensing in an A-field dragster, which is with Anthony DeCero Racing and their school, Nitro University, which you could find online at nitrouniversity.com. So pretty excited about the chance to go 250+.
In your opinion, what's the most challenging track you've ever driven on?
I guess it would probably be Speed World in Arizona, although they've closed down since. But it was a little bumpy towards the end of the track. But, I mean, I love the track. I mean, it was a fun track to go to. It's just there were some bumps out there at times that you had to be aware of.
How do you feel about the rivalry, whether it's real or imagined, between the IHRA and the NHRA?
You know what? I really never put a lot of thought into it. I mean, I guess as long as they're both, I mean, they both have the same goal as mine, and that's just to, you know, keep drag racing alive and keep the sport safe. So, I mean, as long as they both have that common goal, I really don't have a problem with them having a rivalry. I mean, that's just business, and you're always going to have that.
For those of us who aren't familiar, can you explain a little bit more about Doug Herbert's Brakes Charity?
Oh, yeah. Basically, what Doug Herbert's Brakes Charity does is if people don't know from the past, Doug Herbert actually lost his two sons in a car accident. And he was actually testing, I believe, out in Phoenix and had to fly home, and his sons were killed. So what he did was he started a campaign called Brakes, which means be responsible and keep everyone safe. And what they do is they go around from state to state to local tracks, and they teach teens how to drive safely, keeping everybody safe on the road. The kids get classroom instruction as well as behind-the-wheel instruction with professional racers who really can tell them the safe ways to brake, safe ways to corner, and safe ways to deal with water if you ever get in that situation with flooding or anything like that. So it's a really great program, and I suggest people really take advantage of it and send their kids to the school.
You have a fairly large social media following. How important do you think social media is for modern racers?
I think it's very important. I believe that if you don't go on social media, you're not utilizing all the tools that you have as far as gaining attention and building your brand, because whether you like it or not, you yourself as well as your race team is a brand. And in order for us to survive, we have to get other companies, other brands to invest in our brand so we can continue to race, so we can have the funds. So the more people you can get out to, the more attractive you are to other companies, the more attractive your brand is to other companies, the more willing they are to get involved with you. So I think as far as if you're out there looking kind of the pavement for sponsorship, having a huge social media following or presence is very important.
How many races do you compete in annually?
Well, it just really depends. We actually didn't really get to compete last year. This year, I'm hoping to get out to a couple of races. We're really more focused on running the A field deal. And, you know, I'm trying to get some sponsorship with that. So that's what I'm really focused on as of right now. So unfortunately, as of right now, I don't have any races that I have solidly committed to, although I would like to run a couple this year.
I'd now like to turn it over to Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
Okay, sure do.
What is your most memorable racing moment?
I guess my most memorable racing moment was actually when I got my NHRA competition license, my Super Comp license. It was the start of an awesome journey, and just what me and my wife and my children went through just before us to get to the point for me to have opportunity to have a license was just huge. And so that was a huge accomplishment for myself as well as my family. So I'd say as of right now, that's probably my most defining moment in racing.
Now, I have done a lot of following on your Facebook fan page, and I see that you drove a lot of different cars. So, of the cars that you have driven, which one would you say has probably been your favorite?
My favorite is always the dragster. I mean, it's just fun and it's just fast, you know. I did enjoy driving the 78 Cutlass. I mean, it was a little slower. I mean, it ran 1170s, but it was a lot of fun to drive. But, I mean, as of right now, I mean, I'm really enjoying driving the dragsters, and I really can't wait to get into that A-field dragster and see what 250 Plus feels like. That's going to be really exciting.
If you had the power to change anything about the world of motorsports, what would you change?
I think I'd probably make it more profitable as far as, you know, going to races and winning. And I think that's what I would change, because it would make it a lot easier for us all to get out there and race. And probably and make it a little bit more affordable. Those are the two things I think I would change the most for racing.
If you could get what advice would you give to a race team looking for sponsors?
I would let them. Well, number one, I'd say make sure that you are that you're active on social media and continue to build your social media following as much as possible. The other thing I would do is tell them that it's a numbers game. If you get out to 100 people, somebody's going to get back to you. Get out to 1,000 people, probably, somebody's getting back to you, and hopefully somebody will sponsor you out of those 1,000. But just remember, it's a numbers game. Sometimes, you might only reach out to 50 people. You might get, somebody who wants to help you out a little bit. But you might have to reach out to, 500, 600, 700 people before you even, get a positive response. But just take all of the no responses that you get and just kind of build on that, knowing that people are opening up your emails or they're, listening to your phone calls. I mean, you got to take victories wherever you can get them, man. I mean, sometimes, as weird as it sounds, you have to take you got to take the victory and open a no email response or getting somebody on the phone who at least, took the time to listen to you for 15 minutes, even if they say they're not interested. You just can't get down on yourself. You just have to just remember it's a numbers game and just, just get up every day and continue to do the same thing, and eventually you'll get that sponsor.
Have you ever participated in any other types of racing besides drag racing?
No. Just remote control car racing, I did that pretty competitively. But, I was a kid then. But, other than that, I've always just wanted to drag race. I rode dirt bikes and four-wheelers as a kid. We zipped around on those, but nothing really, nothing sanctioned or anything like that.
What is your favorite part about being a drag racer?
It's just a really cool feeling just to be involved and be a driver. My favorite part is being able to compete and just really see how you stack up against the next guy and how your car stacks up to the next guy. That's just an awesome feeling. When you're pushing yourself as well as your machine to the highest level of performance, and you guys kind of, you're acting as one. It's just a rush.
Can you explain the feeling of going down a track in a dragster?
I guess it's kind of hard to explain, but I would say at a certain point, it's almost peaceful because it's like, you're like, wow, it's just me and this car and then the guy in the other lane out here. It's just us. It's just kind of, there's like a split second where you kind of have that realization and it's just like, wow, I'm actually doing this. And it's kind of surreal. And that's probably my favorite part of the run. And that's the main thing I could probably describe about making the run. But, it's really intense. It's a blast. And, it'll definitely get your attention.
Have you ever thought about driving like a pro stock car, or is driving a dragster just what you want to do?
I would drive pretty much anything that I could, really. If there's opportunity for me to drive a pro stock car, yeah, I'd drive a pro stock car. If there's opportunity for me to drive a pro mod, I'd do that as well. Ultimately, my goal is to drive a top field dragster. That's where my goals are set. That's where my sights are set, and that's what I'm going to achieve is driving that top field dragster. And like I said, driving this eight field dragster and licensing and that is getting me one step closer to that goal. So I'm really blessed and I'm really excited about having that opportunity.
Well, Who's your pick to win the four wide nationals this weekend in Concord, North Carolina?
I'll go with my buddy Spencer Massey. I think he could pull it out on top fuel, and I would like to see my friend Dale Creasy Jr. win in funny car, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably, I don't know, I'd say somebody probably out of DSR would do it. I would probably say maybe a Jack Beckman or Tommy Johnson Jr. I could see maybe pulling that out. As far as pro stock goes, I'd probably say Erica Ender. And as far as alcohol, hopefully, you know, if they have to do Terrell Dragster with, that'd be awesome.
Last week, or almost 2 weeks ago now, I went to the FIA Formula E race there in Miami. How do you feel about the Don Garlett's current quest to have a 200-mile-per-hour dragster for the NHRA?
I mean, I think that's a pretty cool deal, actually. I mean, I think that you have to, just like anything else, the whole world is evolving, and drag racing is going to have to evolve with it at some point, and I think that Don Garl is heading up this campaign to run 200 miles an hour in an electric dragster. I think it's really awesome. I think it's great for the sport, and I think that he'll do it. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't do it. He's a very determined man, and he's pretty much hit every other goal he's reached, so there's no reason for me to think that he won't achieve this one as well.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck in your racing career this year.
All right, thank you very much, and I thank you guys for having me.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Once again, we'd like to thank Jason Week of Jason Week Racing for coming on the program this evening. Be sure to check him out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other social media platforms. As he stated, social media is the next big thing for racers in the 21st century, and anyone who doesn't have a large social media following is behind the eight ball in terms of sponsorship and just being competitive in modern racing. Our next guest tonight is Miss Nitrojam, Leanne Powell, who's coming back to the program once again. She's going to be doing a segment after every event on the IHRA Nitrojam schedule. The last event was at the State Capitol Raceway in the IHRA Mardi Gras Nationals. I posted an article about 10 days ago, I believe, a week, 10 days ago, about that listed the winners of that event. It was a fairly well-attended event from what I've seen. Pretty soon, the IHRA Nitrojam Series will be coming to the Palm Beach International Raceway, and I've started the early planning stages of planning a special event on April 23rd, which I'll be featuring a bunch of different drivers for the IHRA paddock, similar to what I did the last time I had Miss Nitrojam on the show. So it should be good. Looks like she's on the line now, so we'd like to welcome her to the program. Hello, thanks for coming back on.
Hi, you're most welcome. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing this evening?
Not too shabby. Thanks for asking.
As I was just stating, the series recently competed at the State Capitol Raceway in the IHRA Mardi Gras Nationals. Can you tell us a little bit about the winners of the different classes and how the event went?
Well, in the Nitro Funny Car class, we had Tim Boychuk, who had an ET of 586 with a mile per hour of 235, so he was definitely cooking. And then in pro stock, we had Kevin Belko, and he ran a 224. Nitro Harley, Tracy Kyle, he ran a 205. And then in the Jet Dragsters, Kat ran a 286, which was actually her fastest time. So the event went absolutely awesome, and everybody definitely put down a good time. So it was great.
What was the most memorable thing about the race weekend in Louisiana?
The most memorable thing, I would say, unfortunately, Friday just kind of got bombed by Mother Nature. She just decided to, you know, send us some bad weather, and the guys from the IHRA definitely tried their best to get the track dried, but there was no way that it could happen. So we shoved two different days all into one day. So it was pretty hectic on Saturday, but the turnout was absolutely amazing. The fans were absolutely amazing. And the vibe was really, really good because we had the track host and owners, we did like a big Mardi Gras, throwing the beads into the crowd and had a float and all that jazz. And that was really fun. So it was great.
That answers a little bit of my next question, but how supportive were the local fans of the IHRA there in Matt DeRouche?
Oh, man, they're very pumped up. They love, oh, my goodness, they were just all about it. They loved the cars. We had quite a few girl drivers that were out this week or that weekend, and, you know, they loved seeing those girls, and then, you know, they really enjoyed themselves as far as everyone could tell.
Did you partake in any of the local cuisine that was offered there?
Oh, yeah. I definitely love crawfish, and there was two different nights we had crawfish at several different teams' paddock areas, and, yeah, it was insanely good.
What race is next on the IHRA Nitro Dram schedule?
We will be hitting Bradenton next month, and that will be on the 17th and 18th of April. And then the following weekend will actually be at West Palm Beach, which will be the 24th and 25th. So we're in Florida, two events next month, which will be awesome. So hopefully, you know, the weather stays good and, you know, we have normal days.
Hopefully. I think that it is starting to be a little bit rainy down here, but you never know. I think that there should be at least a few hours of good weather there. So hopefully it'll get off.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'd like to turn it over to Michael, who has a few questions for you as well.
Okay, great.
So, I mean, you are obviously a really busy person being Miss Nitro Dam and all, but did being at this last race event make you want to participate in any racing of your own?
Oh, my goodness. I am absolutely itching for some seat time, yes. And by the way, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you.
You're welcome. I would say being at the track, no matter what kind of event it is, it definitely, if you're a racer and you have that drive and you want to go fast, no matter what sort of event you're around, you definitely want to be racing yourself. And, you know, as far as not driving, that's okay because I'm still in and around the sport and I'm getting exposed to the element, you know, that it makes me happy. I'm actually looking presently at purchasing a race car up in Boston, or well, not Boston, but Richmond, Massachusetts. I just have to try and find somebody to look at the car for me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I hate it when this happens. So what was your, I mean, you know, you had a lot of stuff going on, but what was your personal favorite part about the race weekend?
I would say, you know, at night, when all the lights come on and everybody's really hyped up because we got the, you know, the fog machines going and the cameras going and you're doing interviews with the drivers and the fans and everything like that. It's just, it's a good vibe. And I would definitely have to say as soon as the lights go down, then, you know, that's definitely the best part for me.
Oh, my goodness. Are you getting to meet, you know, like, some really cool people?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good, you know, techs and mechanics and a lot of people on the teams that are helping A lot of the drivers are very, very nice. Everybody is very welcoming. So, I mean, IHRA is definitely, it's a big family. So, yeah, I would definitely say that it's gotten me to meet a lot of nice people. So,
do you think that the fan base for the IHRA is growing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the turnout on, so our first event we definitely sold out. The second event in Baton Rouge was, it was absolutely packed. Trying to get out of there, you know, as soon as the event was over was absolutely impossible. The fan base is ridiculous for IHRA, and it's really cool to see that many people come out and, you know, want to be a part of, you know, such a cool series.
Is the IHRA ever going to come to Washington State?
You know, I have no idea, but I can, you know, maybe put a good word out there and say, hey, what about Washington? You never know.
That would be greatly appreciated. Are you looking forward to the next race? Like, really looking forward to it?
Oh yes, yeah. It's going to be in Florida, so definitely can't complain about that. It will be close to the beach, so I definitely plan on getting my toes in the sand at one point, for sure.
You're Miss Nitro Jam. How come, you know, like, you don't have, like, automatically have your own race car to just go out and race whenever you please?
Well, I had a contract with a dealership in San Diego, and that's currently in renegotiation just because I moved from San Diego to Houston, Texas. So, you know, I'm trying to work it out right now. I don't know what's going to happen this season for me. That's why I'm looking at a different race car. Hopefully I'll have my own soon enough that I won't have to worry about any contracts or anything like that. So we'll see.
Yeah. That makes sense. So I guess that was kind of a bad question.
No, it's okay. No worries. I'm an open book. Go ask anything.
Have you got to meet any, like, I mean, like, you know, you're obviously kind of a celebrity yourself, but have you got to meet, like, any, you know, like, movie stars or anything?
Within this series or in general?
I guess within general.
In general, yeah, I've met a lot of cool people. When Paul Walker was still alive, I got to meet him. Rest in peace. Gabriel Iglesias is a friend of mine. I met him probably almost 2 years ago, and he's absolutely awesome. Oh my goodness, the guy who has the glasses in Jurassic Park, I met him. Jeff Goldblum, I met him. He's absolutely awesome. I've met a lot of cool people. You'd be surprised how many people that are famous that are really into cars. Oh, and Patrick Dempsey, he is definitely dreamy. But yeah, you would be shocked at how many people are actually famous that, you know, like to attend events, whether it be, you know, drag racing, autocross, Time Attack, you know, IMSA, you know, road course, heavy wheel-to-wheel stuff. Everybody likes racing, and it doesn't matter whether you're famous or not. Everybody comes out to the races. And yeah, I've definitely got to meet a lot of cool people.
Awesome. I'm going to be honest. I think I'm having question block right now.
That's okay. Totally fine.
So which racing event in general are you most looking forward to?
In general, oh my goodness, potentially the Circuit of America's F1 race. I plan to go to that this year. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I've probably already asked you this, but who is, like, your all-time favorite race car driver?
My all-time favorite race car driver. Oh, my goodness, you would ask me that. You know, it's a toss-up. I want to say, not to, you know, toot Elaine's horn or anything, but I love Elaine Larson. She is absolutely awesome. She's a good friend of mine. She has such a good vibe about her. She's always positive, always smiling. Really, she's fast, you know, like, and I have seen, you know, I've seen her, unfortunately, crash at 270 and then get out of the car and still, you know, go and talk to fans and, you know, just be totally nonchalant, nothing happened. And, you know, for something like that to happen is just, it shows someone's character. She's a very, very strong person. And, you know, she's awesome. She's awesome.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you again.
No problem. I enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we look forward to having you back on the program again on, I'm thinking, April 30th. That'll be a week after the series has been at Palm Beach International Raceway, and you can give us a review of how your experience in this great state of Florida went.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks again, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Once again, we'd like to thank Leanne Powell, Miss Nitro Jam, for coming on the program this evening. As I stated before, she's going to be on after roughly a week after every one of the IHRA Nitro Jam events on the schedule for the remainder of the year. And it should be a give us a little bit more of an insight into how the IHRA works and how her first year as Miss Nitro Jam is going. So you're going to be watching the IndyCar race this weekend from St. Petersburg.
I'm not sure because we're really kind of busy getting our race cars ready for the first practice, which is coming up. So I'd like to, and I think my dad would like to also, and he, you know, he usually kind of head of the TV, but I think it's a good possibility that we'll watch it if, you know, everything goes our way.
It should be a good race. It's on a little bit later this year. It's on, it runs from, I think, 3 o'clock until 6 o'clock local time, which is what, that's noon there in Washington State. So that shouldn't be too bad for you. It'll be heck of a thing here, though, because leaving Tampa or St. Petersburg at 6 o'clock at night and getting back here maybe 10. Not exactly the most enjoyable ride back across the state, but not too bad.
Shouldn't the Indy 500 be coming up, or did that already pass?
Nope, that's in May. Got another month and a half or so.
Yeah. Oh, I should have known that it hasn't passed yet, because we haven't talked about it.
Mm-hmm. The race in St. Petersburg is actually the first race of the season. They have a really short season this year. They were supposed to start a couple of weeks ago in Brazil, but they had a problem with the track getting ready and the sponsor falling through, and then the Brazilian government got involved and it got really complicated. But at least in St. Petersburg, there won't be those sort of issues. The mayor of St. Petersburg might actually be on this program in a week or two, I'm hoping, to talk about the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. I'm also hoping to get James Hinchcliffe and possibly a couple of other drivers on the program. I'm going to talk to Robbie Gordon this next weekend and see if he's interested in coming on, and hopefully we can make a full review program of the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Should be a really good race. It's been a couple of years since I've been there. I've been to the St. Pete race, I think, three times now. And it's quite a course. It's a little bit different, but it's for a little bit of street racing, a little bit of street course, a little bit of airport course. And it's all around the Salvador Dali Museum downtown, right on the water. Really pretty area.
Sounds like a great vacation spot.
It is. It's actually kind of, the track layout is kind of similar to the layout they had in Miami last week. So, and it's set up by the same team to the Andretti, whatever the Andretti's production company there that's affiliated with Green, his former team owner. They put the whole track together and they run the race. And it comes together pretty well. It's a good thing for the city. I'm also looking forward to the race they just announced in May at the downtown Fort Lauderdale, right along Fort Lauderdale Beach. That should be quite the event. But so far, they've announced that they're going to have the Red Bull Global Rallycross there. And I know they're going to announce additional races because although Red Bull Global Rallycross is cool, that's not enough to shut down the A1A in Fort Lauderdale in the early part of the summer. So, I'm sure they'll have other races as well, and there'll be more details about that coming out soon, hopefully.
So, out of curiosity, have you ever talked to, like any of like the AMA Supercross guys, or you know?
I've reached out to them in the past. We've had a couple of AMA people on the program. It's kind of difficult to get them scheduled for whatever reason. I think I talked to Jake Gagne one time. He was pretty cool, but it's kind of difficult to get the AMA people on the show sometimes. The AMA has had some changes in their front office personnel this year. They've had some adjustments with the way the series is organized, and it just makes it a little bit difficult to schedule them for this sort of program anyway. But I'm trying. I keep reaching out to them, and hopefully eventually they'll reach back to me. There we go.
Yeah. Well, on a side note, our Facebook page seems to be doing pretty well.
It does. It's up over nearly 1,700 fans now and always growing. I can always use more. So if you're interested, please go to facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder, or simply search for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar on Facebook. I've tried to keep that up to date with information about the guests on the program, as well as some little asides about some of the different things we've been talking about. And it's going pretty well, as Michael just stated. So, should be good. And as I've said in the past, I'm always looking for interesting people to interview on the program. So if you want, you can reach out to me through the Facebook page. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me. Or through SpeedwayDigest.com. Down at the racing news section at the bottom of the page, that's pretty much all my articles on there. And you can email me or contact me through Twitter or through Facebook on that by clicking on the links on that page. This show is committed to bringing a spotlight to racers who haven't necessarily had the spotlight put on them in the past. We're also not ashamed to have racers who've had plenty of spotlight to come on the program as well. Had our share of NASCAR people in the past few months, and that's awesome. And we're hoping to have a few more coming up soon. I've talked to Joe Nemechek recently, and he might be interested in coming on the program. I've talked to his PR people. He was interested before, then he had some changes to his organization, and we ended up talking to John Hunter Nemechek, which was pretty cool as well. So hopefully we'll get some more NASCAR people on the show, as well as people from all walks of racing. And there's quite a different variety of racers out there, including the motorcycle guy we had on a few weeks ago. Not the motorcycle, the lawnmower guy we had on a few weeks ago, and that was pretty neat too. If you're interested, Please be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. There you can find a full listing of every show that we've done, the past 31 shows of the Thursday Night Thunder. You can also check out the show on Facebook, as I stated, by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I'd also like to invite you to read all the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. I also promise to give a shout-out tonight to NASCAR Zone, the web page on, or say Facebook page. You search for them, search typing out NASCAR Zone, that's two words, in the search bar. They have a full coverage of NASCAR, including the this weekend's activity at the Martinsville Speedway. Next week, we're going to have the dirt late model driver owner, Scott Allen, as well as FIA Formula E driver, Nelson Piquet Jr., and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series rookie, Drake Griffin. I'd like to thank Michael Mullally and everybody else who was on the program this evening for helping out, and wish you a nice week. And look forward to seeing you next week in the Thunderdome.